Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, it's not only actors who perform on stage these days. Authors no longer are allowed to just write their books and wait for readers and critics to vote yay or nay. No, not unlike performers and shows, they are expected to go on tour, hitting local bookstores to do readings. And if they are really lucky, they get invited to book festivals. The most popular these days are in Sun Valley, Idaho, and Rancho Mirage in the Palm Springs area. Now that one, which just concluded its seventh year, I was fortunate to attend last week. Now the Rancho Mirage Writers Festival is comprised of 2.5 very full days, almost 1,000 people crowded into that town's public library to attend author events. 4 or 5 go on simultaneously. Many of the visitors are called angels, which means they pay some $5,000 to be guaranteed seats at all the readings and attend a glitzy party the night before the festival gets underway. The rest of the seats are for so-called readers who pay $500 a ticket and have to stand in long lines to try to get into their choices. The event virtually sells out almost a year in advance. And the authors are there to promote their work and either give solo presentations or are interviewed on stage or participate in a panel discussion. This year, the glittery cast included Doris Kearns Goodwin, John Meacham, and Tim McGraw, Tara Westover, Zadie Smith, Jennifer Egan, Michael Chabon, Susan Orlean, and many more. And with this one coming days before the 2020 campaign officially started, there were political pundits and writers like Karl Rove, Jeff Flake, Brett Stevens, James Carville, Richard Stengel, and more. Now, maybe because it's my usual beat, but I did keep seeing parallels to the theatrical world. The authors not only lead or take part in interesting discussions, but they also have to hold the crowd, fearful of the restless walkouts among viewers who wonder if there's something more entertaining in the next room. So you get folks like popular novelist Carl Hiaasen, I think that's how he pronounces his name, who is virtually a stand-up comic, yet also illuminating as he explained that he really doesn't know when writing his books which characters will emerge. Often it is an initially supporting one, he said. He quoted Elmore Leonard, who once claimed, "Why would I write a book if I know how it's going to end?" And let me tell you, I've seen probably 100 shows on stages this past year, but I can't think of any as entertaining as John Meacham and Tim McGraw's current act, selling their joint effort called Songs of America. Not only do they have this cowboy versus erudite elite thing going on, until about 3 weeks ago, McGraw thought Thoreau was a quarterback, said Meacham. But they also discuss and then play key songs that had important meanings throughout the country's history. We get a little Springsteen and Elvis thrown into the lesson, but did we know that Dixie was originally written for minstrel shows in New York City? Or that Winston Churchill once thought he was having lunch at Buckingham Palace with Isaiah Berlin, but later learned it had been Irving Berlin? The author talks this time, as I mentioned, were often political, but also covered contemporary subjects like the future of education and are newspapers dying. The Los Angeles Times top editor, Norman Perlstein, acknowledged that digital cannot be denied, but he also made a case for the comprehensive reporting that only a newspaper can still do. The LA Times had just proved that, covering the unbearably sad death of Kobe Bryant. The paper printed thousands of extra copies, and its pages were filled with every possible angle. Those are editions you hold in your hand and that many will likely want to keep in the collection, as opposed to saving the cloud. Now, if there was one word that was spoken more than any at the Writers' Festival, it was storytelling. Abe Lincoln said a good story was better than a glass of whiskey, said Doris Kearns Goodwin. They told stories, not facts, she added, in detailing the qualities that great leaders have shared, including not being afraid to fail, having the self-confidence to surround themselves with those who disagree with and even know more than they do, and being able to take time to think and relax. She pointed out that Lincoln went to the theater at least 100 times during his time in office. FDR apparently chose who would sleep in the White House's famous bedrooms depending on how good a storyteller they were. Winston Churchill stayed there several times, including once when the president caught him stark naked. "Hey, this prime minister has nothing to hide," said the unembarrassed Churchill. And one cannot hear some of these stories without imagining not only couldn't this be a movie or TV series, but a play as well. For example, I truly could see one based on Susan Orlean's academic and I thought compelling book called Library. Now it sounds dull, and for some people it was, but it's not only an inside look at why those wonderful institutions work so well. Hey, can you imagine one on the DMV? But the reader follows a fascinating arson investigation with, as Orlean described him, an unreliable but charismatic narrator as the main suspect. I could see a show built around him, maybe even an Evan Hansen-type musical. Hey, what rhymes with catalog? I mentioned the Meacham and McGraw duo. Well, apparently there is theatrical interest in doing something around their book. And, of course, Tara Westover's number one bestseller, Educated, has all the makings, yes, of a miniseries that I could see starring Amy Adams. But how about a one-woman show with all parts played by, well, Laura Linney? "For starters," said Westover at Rancho Mirage, "her mother was two people, my mom and my father's wife. Her incredible story of educating herself, 'I have a PhD, but I don't have a high school degree,' she said, all began when her brother in their very poor and often abusive mountain home in Idaho played her a recording of an opera. 'I decided then I wanted to go to school to learn to be a singer,' she said. Well, she ended her program at the festival by singing a hymn, which gave us all goosebumps. By the way, when she told her brother she was writing a memoir, he said, 'Well, at least you won't have to make anything up.' Storytellers can change the world," said National Geographic anthropologist Wade Davis. His multitude of tales accompanied by projections were beyond anything one could imagine. He has spent time with seemingly every tribe, in every forest, in salt mines, in Buddhist retreats where he thought he'd stay 2 weeks, remained 4 years. If he doesn't have a one-man theatrical piece in him, I don't know who does. The last person of the festival on stage was, in fact, an actor, Michael Douglas, who was interviewed about his long career. Now, he does not have a book to promote, but he does have a son to promote. Cameron, whose life has already been filled with harrowing drama, well, he has written a book. I asked Michael, who I had met at UCSB, where he in fact directed a play, if he has any plans for doing something on stage. He said no, but that his summers working with playwrights at the Eugene O'Neill Theater Center when he was very young had lasting impact. "I've had a pretty good track record," he said modestly, "and a lot comes from that experience, learning how structure is so important in scripts." Overall, these writer festivals, they're fun, if rather exhausting experiences. The good news is a lot of books are sold, which means people are still going offline to sit down with fiction or non. If there are qualms about the events, well, they are expensive, and as a result, the visitors are 99.9% white, and shall we say, middle-aged and beyond. There was only one author of color. Another had dropped out when he learned he'd be nothing but a token. So in that way, they do not resemble our current world of theater. But you do leave with great respect for these folks who spend years composing stories and then have to spend a lot of time and energy getting up on stages, large and small, to sell them. They may not be playing characters, Jill, but playing themselves may be even tougher.
That is all true. You know, the role of the storyteller in culture, from literally the dawn of time, should not go unremarked.
That's right.
Because that's how information came down, and only then was it put in. Can anyone say Bible? But only then was it. Newspapers came after that, and I'm struck that. Okay. The number of people that are out there and involved belies the information that has been disseminated about that. You know, for example, people look at their screens and they don't focus, or they go to the theater, and they don't focus on the fact that somebody had to write the stuff.
That's right.
And
that's
I,
right.
You know, at the weekend, I was, I was hiding from some. Oh, there was no sports. That's it. There was no particular sports, and I had flipped to PBS, and they were showing The Guns of Navarone, which you know had, but now would probably be tagged for cultural appropriation. But you know, had David Niven and Gregory Peck, and you know, it was an old film. But I also read the book prior to it. I started thinking, you know, and somebody else just mentioned this about Little Women. The last, he said, and he saw it down in Mexico. He said, production values, sublime. He said, why did they have to start backwards? Why can't you just have exposition?
Right. Well, they told that one about seven times already. So she found a new way of telling it. But you're right. You know, you could take the same story, and as we see it, whether it's in a movie or eventually a series or maybe on stage, telling them very different ways. Laura Linney is on Broadway now, basically reading from a book. Joan Didion, Vanessa Redgrave became Joan Didion, telling her story on stage. So, yeah, I mean, these books, they take years to research and write. Susan Orlean said it took her 7 years to write Library. 7 years! I mean, she watched her child grow up, you know. That's a long time to work on one project. Fascinating, of course, but just think of that. And to bring all these people joy years later, but you don't know. You don't know. Will they like it? Won't they like it? Does it have another way of being told? But you're right. Stories, they were told around the campfires. They were told in caves. They were written on the walls, you know, for us to remember. So, it's fascinating, and I'm glad I'm reading two books at once. One is on Kindle, but I try to always have a regular book nearby, you know, just so that I'm not one of those people that only read on screens. And, you know, and I do think newspapers still, maybe because I write, do a lot of writing for them still, but, you know, I was in Los Angeles this week. I'm still in Los Angeles when the Kobe Bryant thing hit. And, you know, I didn't want to, you don't want to go online and say, oh, how's that being covered there? How's that? It really felt good to pick up a newspaper and just read these incredible, incredibly interesting stories, personal, you know, about children, about basketball. I mean, about mothers who had never seen a basketball game in their life, but cried all week long. So that's, you know, anyway. We probably sound old-fashioned, but, you know, I still want to make a case for newspapers and real books, even though, believe me, I go online many hours a day. We all do. Not to mention radio, right? Not to mention radio. What a great way to tell stories. And you are doing God's work.
I don't know about God's work, but, yeah, radio won't die. Just refuses. Nope. But it also, nope. it's immediate. And absolutely. You don't have to edit. You know, all you have to do on radio is open your mic and start to talk, and people can hear you.
Absolutely. Even Michael Douglas, when he saw my press credential, he said, wow, you work for an NPR station? And I said, yes, I do. Wow. You know, so people still listen, and they still care.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.